Welcome to the jungle. A very good Wednesday to you. What's cracking? I am Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. Great to be here. As a reminder, we are coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions of bucks during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You want to see rules and you want to enter for free right now at RocketMortgageSquares.com. All right, so I've got a very busy Wednesday, both on and off the air. Lots to get to. Let me get you started. Cell phone number is 1-800-636-8686. You've got conference championship games. You've got a Conor McGregor fight coming up this weekend. Big retirement in the NFL, which I will get to momentarily. I've got a podcast to push out later on today. I've got a brand new YouTube channel that I told you about. I've got a What's Your Beef segment. I've got the Ask the Pros. I've got to find a way to get it all in on a Wednesday. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. Start dialing. Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Jim Rome. And you can still email me. And the beef segment is coming up in hour number two. If you want a beef via email, you can do that. The email address is Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the first hour is busy. My thoughts on Philip Rivers retiring. That happened this morning. That's coming up in a moment. Next segment, UCLA basketball coach Mick Cronin. Coming up at 9:40 Pacific time. Marshall head football coach Charles Huff. What's your beef? 10:20 Pacific time. Ariel Helwani joins me in hour number three to talk about Conor McGregor and more. And my podcast guest is Leroy Butler, former Packer great, episode 159. In fact, he is an NFL Hall of Fame finalist for the second year in a row. All right, let's get it going. Pick up the phone, dial the number, talk to Hawk, get on hold, wait for me to come to you, get racked, get a golden ticket, qualify for the smack off. It could change your life. All right, so now it's official. He is gone. Philip Rivers announced that he is retiring. He told the San Diego Union-Tribune, quote, it's just time. He added, quote, it's just right, end of quote. And, you know, I got to agree, on so many different levels. And not because of the career he's had, but because he also said in a separate statement, quote, every year, January 20th, is a special and emotional day. It is St. Sebastian's feast day, the day I played in the AFC Championship without my ACL. And now the day that after 17 seasons, I'm announcing my retirement from the National Football League. Thank you, God, for allowing me to live out my childhood dream of playing quarterback in the NFL. End of quote. All right, so a lot to unpack in that statement. I do want to say his defining moment of his entire career was 13 years ago. Remember, he played in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots only 6 days after having surgery to remove the ruptured ACL in his right knee. I mean, think about that for a minute. Forget Willis Reed. Talk about Philip Rivers. Because Rivers, hobbling around that field, trying to find a way to get a win against the Patriots dynasty, when other guys would be sitting at home, really was iconic. This guy's dragging his leg around, trying to drag his team to the Super Bowl. And the fact that he never won a Super Bowl, the fact that he never got to a Super Bowl, sure as hell was not due to a lack of talent or a lack of skill or a lack of effort or a lack of heart or desire or passion. So what I'm saying is go ahead and start measuring this guy for a gold jacket right now because there's no doubt that he's earned that spot in Canton. In fact, not just a spot there, but on the very first ballot. He retires as the fifth all-time passer in terms of passing yardage, 421 TD passes, and you want a guy that you can count on to play no matter what, that's your guy. He was second only to Brett Favre in consecutive games played. In other words, every Sunday, no matter what the weather was, no matter what was happening during the season, no matter what was going on with his body, 17 was going to be out there. And honestly, the guy can still sling it. No doubt about that. Definitely no doubt in his mind. As he told the UT, quote, I can sit here and say, I can still throw it. I love to play, end of quote. And see, that to me is also where there's some separation with Philip Rivers and so many other guys. There aren't many other guys who play that game who loved it as much as Philip Rivers. In fact, there aren't too many people who have done anything with more juice and more passion than Philip Rivers. As proof of that, check out his new job, his new gig. He's not going to sit on a beach. He's not going to sit in a studio somewhere. He's going to be a high school football coach at St. Michael Catholic High School in Alabama. I mean, that is the absolute best. That is so on brand. How awesome would it be to play high school football for Coach Philip Rivers? Let me get back to that statement for a moment, too. The statement also includes lines like, I appreciate the opposing defenses, making it challenging physically and mentally every week. I also enjoyed the banter, end quote. Man, that is the truth. Fact, nobody enjoyed the banter more than Philip Rivers. Hell, Philip Rivers revolutionized the banter game. Four of the best words in the history of the NFL are Philip Rivers mic'd up. Because when Philip Rivers was on the field and he would say, I'm mic'd today, you knew something good was going to happen. You knew you were going to get like the iconic shout of quit crying that he directed at the Titans.
Oh, quit crying! Quit crying! You're talking the whole game, now you're on mute.
Quit crying. And of course, he'd probably chase that with a dadgummit.
Dadgummit!
And you were going to hear him correcting the opposing defenses. J.J. Watt had this great tweet this morning. Quote, I'll never forget lining up for a play and Phil pointing to one of our linebackers and telling him he was lined up wrong based off the blitz. And we were about to run and being 100% correct about it. Ha ha. One of the smartest I've ever played against and a hell of a competitor. End of quote. The only thing wrong with that tweet is the fact that Watt used the word hell. And smart man that he is, he corrected it with heck of 30 minutes later. Rivers certainly was not shy about letting you know how smart he was, how much homework he had done. And he would correct you and your defense if you guys were wrong.
Hey, I can just tell you right now, 57's firing. He's the new Clowney. 41's the mic. God. Told you. Hey. You don't play Mike. Why would you line up there? Quit just making up alerts. You're like, you hear things, you scream, reverse. You don't know what.
This guy's too much. You're not the Mike. Why are you lined up there? Like he's correcting them on their defensive alignment. And if he didn't like what he was seeing, he was going to let you know that as well.
Unstinking believable. That's horse mess.
Unstinking believable. That's horse mess. I think that's probably the part or the thing I'm going to miss most about Philip. I mean, I'm going to miss the freaky throws, the unorthodox form, the facial expressions on the sideline. But most of all, I think I'm going to miss all that dad gum trash talk. Like, you know, if something good just happened, he was going to let you hear that, too.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
Hey, Sam, too. You see, I ain't talking. Right. Stay humble, bro.
You know he's right.
Stay humble. Stay humble, cuz.
I can be excited.
Yeah, but don't do that by my ear. Don't do it by my ear. Now. Right.
I will do it by
my ear. No.
Hey, that's
what I do.
17.
That's what I do.
I'll holler at you after the game. 17, just keep talking.
That is one of my favorite exchanges ever during a game, and there's not one curse word in it. Like, well, actually there was, but not from Phil. Hey, 17, stay humble. Hey, 17, keep talking. He's like, what, I'm not going to be excited? Yeah, I'll say it. I'll say it right in your ear. And if he wasn't breaking down the details of the play, he was just shouting one word.
Go Chargers, yes! Are pummeling.
Yes! Yes!
I mean it. Find me anybody anywhere who loves anything as much as this guy loves ball. And it wasn't even all on Mike. Check out this story that Darius Slay told me at the Super Bowl last year about facing Rivers.
We walking through the tunnel. I'm just minding my business, dapping up my teammates. I heard him yell out my name, Slay. In the tunnel. So I turn around. And he's like, yeah, early and often, Slay. Early and often. I said, oh, no. So I went to one of my safeties, Quandre Diggs. I like, hey, man, we got to go right now. He done talked to crazy. And we got to get right. It made me laugh because the fact that how he said
it. You gotta respect that.
I respect it the best because he wants you to bring your best out of you. So he trying to mess with your mind a little bit. But for him not to cuss and say it, it was making it even funnier because I probably would have cussed.
No, he but he doesn't though.
He doesn't. That's what makes it funny. That's making it so funny.
That's so funny that he could talk that kind of junk without cussing.
Yes, he talked a lot of it.
Every play.
Every play. Keenan caught a pass on me, and now you know he driving down the field, walking down. I'm just getting up, walking. I heard him say, "Yeah, early. Yeah, I told you. Yeah, like I'm like, ooh, wee."
It's so good. Philip Rivers seeing Darius Slay in the tunnel. Quote, early and often, Slay. Early and often, Slay. Philip Rivers really is one of one. And if you need further evidence of that, check out this next part from that statement. Quote, I appreciate the referees for putting up with all my fussing. I think I was right most of the time. Dadgummit. Once again, legend. Nobody else is going to work in a dadgummit into a retirement statement. I mean, sure, we've heard it on the field. He worked it into a retirement statement. And certainly, they're not going to do it in referencing the officials, which is awesome. And the guy was not afraid to let the refs hear about it.
Hey, Mr. Ref! Hey, whatever! Hey, what are you looking at? Oh, why, yeah, though? I just don't understand why you pick it up. You must have thought it to throw it.
And let me interject something personally, too. Over the years, I've really, really enjoyed talking to Philip Rivers. As an example, back in 2017, he talked about the role of being the face of a franchise and the responsibility that comes along with that.
Well, I think very seriously, and I think it's a heck of an honor, really, and a heck of a responsibility to have. And I'd like to consider myself a heck of a leader, and I think all guys that are leaders, that have been leaders in any, wherever they are and what their profession is, it's them first understanding it takes everybody. I never have liked the phrase, oh, it's my team. But I know that some of that comes with the position. You want to be a servant leader, and you want to know that the guys, you're one of the guys. And it's a special role. It's one I dreamed about being in. I had all those guys, Marino and Elway and Montana and Aikman and Favre and Manning, and all those guys were on my wall as young kids, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be playing NFL quarterback, and I've been able to live out that dream now for over a decade, and I don't take it for granted.
I think you can tell by how much time I'm spending on this in the open that I hold this guy in really high regard. He never did take any of it for granted, and he's been a heck of a leader. And as proof of that, he did close out the statement by saying this, quote, thanks to the fans in San Diego and around the nation that both cheered and booed. Special thanks to my teammates. Without a doubt, my favorite part of the game, being a teammate. Thank you for being mine. Lastly, thank you to my wife and my best friend Tiffany and our children, Hallie, Caroline, Grace, Gunner, Sarah, Peter, Rebecca, Claire, Anna. Could not have done it without y'all's unwavering support. As my playing career comes to an end, the next chapter begins. And it has been an amazing journey, Philip. In fact, I can't wait to see what's next. Nuke Chepi. Yeah! Nuke Chepi.
Yes! Yes!
Nuke Chepi. And so we begin. Amazing guy. Man, honestly, we should all have the kind of passion and energy and heart and love of the game for anything we do. So here's to Philip Rivers. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer in my mind, on and off the field. All right, in addition to that, some other things I want to get to. It is a heavy interview hour. I've got Mick Cronin coming up next. I have Charles Huff after that. But some other things before I go to break that I want to mention. Tito Ortiz goes Tito Ortiz again. Man, my man's off to a bad start. He is off to a really bad start as a city council member in his hometown of Huntington Beach. I mean, really, what a mess. And remember, he's the next man up. Should anything happen to the mayor, this is the next guy up. I've got an update on that. Oh, also breaking. A lot of news this morning. Philip Rivers makes his retirement official. And this just in, breaking. A Kyrie Irving sighting. It was not very fulfilling. I have that for you. Hey, quick question. Who is the hottest team in the NBA right now? The Lakers? Golden State? You know who the hottest team in the association is right now? The Nets? Utah Jazz. The Jazz are the hottest team in the association. And I do want to talk about them. The Mets. Mets gonna Met. Even after they realize that they made an enormous mistake, they still continue to jack things up even after the fact. And I've got an update there. All right. So all of that today, 1-800-636-8686. Give me a call. Again, I've got two interviews planned, but somebody might show up late. Somebody might not show up at all. You could get yourself right up on the air. Hit me up. Quick question for you. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so good? There is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the finest ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. Old Trapper jerky comes in four amazing flavors. There's Old Fashioned, there's Teriyaki, there's Peppered, and there's Hot and Spicy. All chock full of good protein to satisfy even your manliest hunger cravings. And they provide real sustained energy. Well, Trapper is just a better way to snack. Make it a part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you do not see it, just ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Oh, Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, then. Right back at it. Great to be with you. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. And we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at UCLA, second season with the Bruins. He was the 2020 Pac-12 Coach of the Year, 2018 Sporting News National Coach of the Year, a three-time Conference Coach of the Year. UCLA is 11-2 overall. They are undefeated in Pac-12 play, 7-0. First place in the Pac-12, number 20 in the coaches' poll. And they're at Cal tomorrow night. He is a friend of the program. He is Mick Cronin. Mick, how you doing, Mick? How's life for you right now?
Life is good, Romy. Anytime you wear shorts to work, man, it's a great day.
I got to ask you about that, Mick. In fact, you got me there way faster or way earlier than I was going to. But what about that? For instance, Mick, I had Greg McDermott on the show recently, and he was talking about how coaches are a little more casual now on the sideline. You are one of the best-dressed guys in basketball. You're a David August man. What's this season been like then in that regard?
Yeah, I had to go to my guy Johnny O, John O'Donnell, Chris's brother, the actor. He's a Bruin. He made us some outfits to wear, so it's comfortable. I'll tell you that, man. It's nice not having to carry your suit on road trips, you know, your suit bags and all that. But as you know, David August is they do a great job. So I'll be back in the suits next year. I've heard some people say you guys ought to stay casual, but I don't see that happening for too long.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, Mick. I think some guys are going to stay casual, and you know, I wear some Johnny O, too. I'm a David August guy, first and foremost, but I've thrown down for Johnny O. Johnny O has some really good stuff, too.
So oh, yeah. Big I time. Feel you. He stepped up, took care of our staff. Because as you know, we Under Armour, they dropped the UCLA University deal in the summer. It's in litigation, and we start with Nike next July. So we were in limbo, so he stood in big time for us, Johnny did.
He was smart like that. Mick Cronin joining us. So, Mick, you beat Washington Saturday. That was your sixth straight win. You're 7-0 in conference play for the first time since the early 90s. So what is the mood like around the team and the program right now?
Well, I tell you one thing. It's the whole thing's surreal because, you know, you go out to play a game and there's nobody in the stands. It's completely empty. I give all these kids credit for what they're going through, you know, from quarantining to maintaining their intensity and their focus to play to win. And I think it's going to get harder because it's getting longer. You know, Jim, we started September 21st in college basketball, really right around there. What are we at? So, you know, from a 4 month standpoint. And, you know, how many teams are – the kids are just – you know, how long can you keep your focus as far as – and your discipline, right? From college, nightlife, socializing, as you come down the home stretch here, your dedication off the floor. My guys have been awesome with it. We haven't had – knock on wood, we haven't had one positive test since we started, and that's allowed us to grow as a team. It's just – it's going to be crazy, Jim, when you get to NCAA tournament time. It would be – it'd be so sad that a team's fate to be affected by a positive test or their chance to make a tournament run.
We're talking to Mick Cronin. Mick, so true. And everybody really is living this thing day to day, and you're hoping that everybody's making the right choices, the right decisions, they get lucky. You know, what about that big stage? One of the things I know you've talked about is the fact that the players are working towards that very thing, working towards the NCAA tournament, working towards playing on the big stage in front of big crowds. So what's it like when you go out on the road and the fans aren't in the building and they're not getting that opportunity?
But I'll tell you, it was the most unusual when we went down to Arizona, because, you know, down in Tucson,
right,
they have just a great home court, great fan base, and it's fun to play there, even though you're the enemy. And to walk out there on a Saturday night in an empty gym, I mean, it was surreal. Even our players were like, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, it is so different. You know, and the hard thing for us, you know, on the West Coast is, in California, our players' parents can't even come to the games. So that's really unfortunate. You know, you just hope we get to Indianapolis. You know, we're part of the tournament, hopefully, that our players' families will at least get to come to the games. But, you know what, Jim, they'd rather be playing than not. I mean, this is the key. You know, this is what they want. At the high level, these kids have worked their whole life to get to the point where they're playing basketball at UCLA. So they understand people got it a lot worse than them out there through the effects of the pandemic. So they're just happy to be playing.
We're talking to UCLA basketball coach Mick Cronin. You know, Mick, the process has been so challenging. You know, for example, at the end of last season and the off season, everything's been impacted by COVID, like you and I are talking about, but you're having a lot of success. You had a process, you're working your process. How have you maintained your vision and executed it with all these obstacles in front of you? What's your process been like for dealing with it?
I would say, Jim, probably something that helps us is I'm not a fluff guy. The tough Irish side of me. You know, we don't talk about injuries. We don't talk about anything that would be an excuse. We don't talk about our feelings. You know, there's one thing I try to train the guys is for life. You know, I just try to train them that everything's not always going to go your way, right? You either get the job done or you don't, because when you leave college, right, you're in the real world, and you either produce or you're fired. Like, you don't get to keep your scholarship if you play bad. You're going to get cut from your pro team, whether it's in the NBA, whether it's in Europe, South America, wherever it may be. Whatever job you have, if you don't produce, you're going to get fired. So I try to train them for that. So in our process, it's irrelevant who's in the stands. It's irrelevant that, unfortunately, Chris Smith, our senior best returning player, got hurt and is out for the season. It's irrelevant. All the stuff that's going on. You know, there's a ball, there's a gym, we're allowed to play, so there's no excuses. That's just kind of how we operate.
It's kind of binary, right, Mick? It's binary. Yep. Either it is or it isn't. And, you know, to that point, it's kind of counterintuitive. Like, you have this tough love. It's almost like parenting, right? I do this with Janet, my wife, where you want to tell the kids the way things are because you want to prepare them, but then maybe she on the other side is trying to protect them from something. And then I say, well, you're not doing them any favors if you don't let them know exactly how it is. As a head coach, how do you balance that tough love between, hey, man, I really do care about you. I really do. However, there is a standard here that you have to uphold, and I'm doing it for your own good.
I think that, I mean, that's the key to coaching, right? Because nobody's going to follow you as a coach. Your soldiers aren't going to follow you into battle if they don't believe that you'll take a bullet for them. So, you know, my thing is, you know, 99% of the time, I'm on their side. Especially in college, right? Our kids aren't paid to play. They're under a lot of pressure. They got academics to deal with. I'm their fiercest critic in the gym when we're trying and coaching them, right? I'm their drill sergeant, right? Getting them ready. But outside of here in the media, I'm their biggest protector, you know, so I don't want to hear anybody banging on any of my guys for anything. Look, they're kids. They're trying to do their best. Blame me for the loss. Don't blame them. I think that's the most important thing. And the guys know how, if you're around kids every day, look, you got no shot at being phony about it. They know. I mean, they know, because things are going to happen, Jim, where a kid may make a mistake and you're going to, that's your chance to, it's like, well, coach is hard on me about paying attention and getting my job done. But, you know, when I have a personal problem, he's the first guy there to help me. So I think that's the key to all of it. It's going to happen over time. You know, kids are going to see who you really are. And I think, you know, it's important to have your whole coaching staff like that.
They know. They know. Mick Cronin joining us. So, Mick, one last thought, because you mentioned Chris Smith. I mean, the thing that's striking to me, at least from the outside looking in, he gets ruled out of the season with a knee injury, but it seems like the team, I would never say you're better without him, but they just kept right on rolling despite that bad news. How do you explain that?
We're fortunate. I'd say the one position that we could withstand a loss was on the wing. Point guard, big man, we're not that deep. But on the wing, we're a very deep team. We have a lot of options, a lot of guys that can score. I obviously, we're not better without him, but you're right. I mean, we have continued to win, but it's because of our depth at that position. You know, we had recruited as if we didn't know if he was going to come back for his senior year. So when he came back, it allowed us to be a much deeper team. The addition of Johnny Juzang, who came back to the West Coast, Harvard Westlake kid, the 6'6 guard for us, made us an even deeper team. So we're just fortunate that our loss, although it was tragic, and Chris is doing great, he had a surgery, and he's going to be fine. But it was just in a position where we had some depth.
UCLA is playing some great ball right now. They're 11-2 overall. They're undefeated in Pac-12 play. He is the head coach. He's a friend of the program. UCLA is at Cal tomorrow. Mick, it is great to get caught up. I appreciate you. Appreciate the relationship, and it's good to talk some ball with you. Mick, thanks so much.
It's great to catch up, Romy. Hopefully we'll do it again in March during the NCAA tournament. It'd be great.
Would love to, Mick. Right. Thanks so much. Mick Cronin, UCLA basketball coach, joining us once again. Always good to talk to him. A fellow David August man. I'm curious about the head coaches. You know, some of these guys are not going to go back. And when I say go back, I mean go back to suiting up. They like it the way it is. You know, when the world does return, we know it's not going to be the same. And a lot of people are still going to work remotely. A lot of people are still going to work casually. I wonder about head coaches. Like Mick, man, he looks good. Mick always looks good. But then, like I mentioned, Creighton head coach Greg McDermott was on, and he said, I'm not going back. I kind of like the way it is. Where do y'all come out? I could be really cheesy and turn it into a poll question. Are you going back? Or do you like it casual? In fact, are you going back to work? Or do you like working from home? How many of you thought that when I said, he's gone, that I was referring to somebody other than Phillip Rivers? Come on, man. You know I'm not going to get all political with you. All right, when we come back, what I will do is talk some Marshall football. Great story. Charles Huff joins me next segment. Then I've got an open segment at the top of hour number two, if you're wondering how this sets up. Then I've got your beef segment. That's the segment once a week where I put a gigantic plastic tower of beef off to my left, and I let you come in and beef about whatever you want. Sports, your family, your neighbor, your boss, your life, whatever you want. That's in the second hour. We're talking MMA in hour number three. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Wednesday, so that means it is time to ask the pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. That is an hour three thing. With that in mind, this says, hi, Jim. You're a Hall of Famer. Do you really think Phillip Rivers belongs in the Hall of Fame? He's a tremendous talent, but does not belong. Bella B. in Calgary. All right, Bella, a few things. Number one, you know the ATP is not an hour one thing. It's an hour three thing. Number two, I'm in the Radio Hall of Fame, not the NFL Hall of Fame. Number three, to answer your question, do I really think that Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer? Bella, if I didn't really think that Phillip Rivers was a Hall of Famer, would I have really said that Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer and a first ballot Hall of Famer? So yes, I think he really is a Hall of Famer. And then lastly, you don't even care what I think. That was not your point. You and Bella, you're my gal. I love you. But you're one of those people in this case, at least in this case, who ask me my take but don't really care about my take. You just want to give me your take. I get that all the time. Hey, yo, Rome. I'll run to somebody on the street, or at least back in the day, pre-pandemic. Hey, yo, Rome, what do you think about the Lakers? They don't care. They never care what I think about the Lakers. They want me to know what they think about the Lakers. That's their way of getting into it. So that's what you just did. Hey, Jim, do you really think that Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer? You don't care what I think. In fact, you already know what I think because I spent 12 minutes in the open telling you what I think. What you wanted to do is tell me what you think. Bella. And Bella, you're far from the only one to hate on Phil. There's a lot of people who hate on Phil. I'm not one of them. I love the guy. And I understand that guys are often measured against how many rings they won, how many rings they lost, and they should be. That is part of the criteria, but it's not the only criteria. And the fact that he never won a Super Bowl, the fact that he never made it to the Super Bowl, to me, is not a reason to keep this guy out of the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer through and through. Believe me, there are guys that have won Super Bowls that do not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And there are guys who've never been to the Super Bowl that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So if you want to get into that, we can. I love the guy as a player, as a leader, as a teammate, and as a high school football coach. How awesome would that be to play high school football for Coach Phil Rivers?
Unstinking believable.
I'll pick that topic up in a minute. As promised, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Marshall. He was introduced as Thundering Herd head coach yesterday. He previously served as the associate head coach of running backs, and a running backs coach, I should say, at Alabama. He played his college ball at Hampton. Marshall is 7-3 in 2020, or they were. First place in the CUSA East Division. Charles Huff is my guest. Charles, great to have you on.
How's everybody doing?
What's up? How you doing, coach?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I really have checked off a lot of boxes in the last few days. I've taken the best job in America. I got a chance to be introduced as a head coach, and I am now on one of my favorite radio shows of all time. Like, I don't know if life can get any better.
My man, this is one of my favorite starts to any interview that I've ever done, and I've done thousands of interviews. Charles Huff is my guest. I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate you. So you were officially introduced yesterday. What have the last few days been like for you and your family?
You know, it's been great, man. We are thrilled to be a part of this program, to have this opportunity. My family is back in Tuscaloosa. My son is 8 years old, and he is on a basketball team, and he would not miss a game for the world. So I was like, hey, Dad's going to be introduced as the head coach on Tuesday. He was like, I have a game. I said, well, you're right. But it's been great, man. They're going to get up here in a couple weeks. We're grinding through right now, trying to check all the boxes, get the right staff in here, get our players rolling. We're fired up, man.
Man, that is awesome. Charles Huff joining us. You know, the story goes that when you went to Hampton as a walk-on, you ended up playing guard, fullback, tight end, before being the center and team captain as a senior. Like, as you look back, and I know you've got a lot of work in front of you and you're eager to get to it, but when you look back as your time as a player there, what were you like when you first arrived on campus?
You know, I was like a lot of the kids, you know, that are here today. You know, I came in and thought I was all world and thought I was just going to walk in and take over the world. And you realize that, you know, every step in your life, especially when you go from high school to college, it's changed. You know, there's a lot of good players around. You don't know what you don't know. You're not as fast as you think. And then, you know, you look back 4 years from now and everything your coach told you, all the experiences you went through prepared you for those moments. And, you know, you flip the clock around and it's in that same spot when I'm standing in front of that podium and I'm, you know, accepting or, you know, doing the introduction speech for this head job.
Talking to Charles Huff, you know, I love that. You don't know what you don't know, and then you learn. You talk about a coach. You played for the great Joe Taylor at Hampton. It's clear how much respect he has for you. What did you learn from him? What was your biggest takeaway from your time with him?
You know, the biggest thing for us and me, what we learned from Coach Taylor is he really took pride in turning young boys into young men. And just the fundamental pieces of how to be a man, how to conduct yourself, I'll never forget. We used to, you know, we used to wear a certain tie to travel. And at that time, we were like, we put on church clothes. Why are we doing this? And he taught us all how to tie a tie. He taught us all, you know, why it was, you know, the right thing to walk with your head high and show your to a discipline and show class. And those fundamental pieces I still carry with me every day of my life. And again, we walked in there. We didn't know what we didn't know. And he taught us those things, and those fundamental pieces have stuck with us, me and my players and teammates, the rest of our lives.
We were talking to Marshall head football coach Charles Huff. You know, he said something else about you that I thought the praise was really, really high. Quote, some people just got it, and Charles is one of those guys. Everything that it takes to be successful, he had no problem doing. The early morning get-up, the weight room, coming back late, got a test the next day. His parents did an outstanding job raising him because he's a first-class guy. I'm super proud. End of quote. I mean, that's extremely high praise. I'm curious, where did that mindset and knowledge on what it took to be successful. How much of that did you get from him, and how much of that came from something else, maybe your parents?
Yeah, you know, I was blessed enough to be raised by my mom and my dad, you know. So my dad was hard on us. Discipline was very important, doing the right thing because the right thing's always the right thing. Treating people the right way, understanding that you got to work harder than the next man in order for you to get what you want. And my mom was big on faith. Regardless of how late a game you had on Saturday or what you thought you were doing on Saturday, you were going to go to Sunday school Sunday. And just that simple understanding of there are more things that are important than what you want to do. It's about how you do them.
We're talking to Charles Huff. Of course, you're coming to Marshall from Alabama. What about your time with Nick Saban? I mean, obviously, you're going to take a little something from everybody you work with and work for and work alongside. What about Nick Saban? What did you learn from him?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, Coach Saban has probably changed my life the most. He taught me, or has taught me, that consistency in your approach is the key to success. You set your plan, you have a plan, and you stay consistent. And the details and the choices and decisions that you make on a daily basis are the things that are going to separate you. And everybody can, you know, can pretty much agree that he is the master of consistency. And whether we won a game by 60 or we came up short, it was the exact same approach. It was the exact same message. We went right back to work the next day, and we approached every game like it was the only game on the schedule, one play at a time for 60 minutes. And that's something that I'm going to be carrying with me for a very long time.
I think that is the best explanation of the so-called Saban process that I've ever heard. That was perfectly stated. So, you know, the thinking in the past is that when somebody gets a head coaching job, it probably means you're walking into a situation that needs a lot of help. But in your case, you're walking into a program that's been to four straight bowl games. So how do you go about building on that, and what does the next step look like for this program?
You know, that's perfect. You know, I had my first team meeting last night. And I told those guys, you know, this is not a rebuild, like you said. This is not a, you know, coming into a 1-9 program and we got to start from the bottom. I told these guys, I am here to win now. And what I am here to do is help them get 6 inches better. They came up close in the championship game, came up close in a few other games of the season. And we're trying to improve 6 inches. When you're an elite at whatever you do, so you look at LeBron James, Stephon Curry, Michael Jordan, those players work all year long to get just a little bit better. LeBron James is not going to make leaps and bounds in his skill set, but he's trying to get a little bit better so that maybe he gets 2 more points in the big game, or maybe he plays 2 more minutes because his condition improves. And that's what I told those guys. We're trying to get 6 inches better. But we got to work all year just for those 6 inches. And that small movement and improvement is in the details.
We're talking to Charles Huff.
Hand behind the line, not on the line.
Right.
You know, tucking your shirt in, finishing through the line, not to the line. Going to class 5 minutes early, not on time.
It's a mentality. It's a lifestyle. So top to bottom, what is a Charles Huff Marshall football team going to look like?
Yeah, we're going to be physical. We're going to be fast. We're going to be aggressive. We are going to play one play at a time for 60 minutes with a focus and intensity that our opponents cannot match. At the end of the game, we want teams to say,
I don't want to play that team again. They play with an unbelievable self-discipline, and their competitive spirit is unmatchable, regardless of the scoreboard. They were up 60, and they were still trying to score. I don't want to play them again.
Damn, coach, put me in. I mean, like, I've got no ability, not much size. I'm a 50-something-year-old man, but put me in. I'm ready to play.
We can find a spot for you. We'll run you on a bubble route, throw the ball the other way. You can be a decoy.
I'll do that. I'll do that. And I'll do that really well, by the way. I'll do that really well. Listen, one last thought. We talked about the impact the guys have had on you. You were also a special teams coordinator at Penn State. Really quickly, Saquon Barkley said, the impact that he had on me helped mold me into the player and the man that I am today. What's it mean to you to hear that from him?
Well, that's big because Saquon was one of the players who came in. He wasn't very highly recruited. And he came in and he did everything I and the program and Coach Franklin asked him to do. And when you have those type of kids, you hope that they have the success that they deserve. And Saquon was one of them. So for him to say that I had that impact on him, he had a bigger impact on me.
He is the head football coach at Marshall. They're coming off a season where they were in first place in the CUSA East Division. This is a great opportunity, and the right guy is getting it. Charles, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much, and I know you and I will come together and do this again. Great to have you.
Absolutely. Go Herd.
Go Herd. Couldn't be more impressed. Great hire. The right guy got that job, and I think he's going to do something with it too. 1-800-636-8686. All right, there's hour number one. The second hour sets up like this. What's your beef? In fact, we blew right through that first hour, and now we're 20 minutes away from what's your beef. What is your beef? I don't care what it is, as long as it's legitimate beef. You can talk about anything you want. You can beef on anybody you want. You can beef on anything you want. If I'm going to drag that gigantic plastic tower of beef into this studio, I need you to bring legitimate beef. Also, Tito Ortiz has stepped in it again. I'll have that story for you, too. All that straight ahead.